We've assembled this morning to be able to build each other up. And in so doing, we end up worshiping God and doing the things that we pray that are acceptable in His sight. I do commend the lesson that Cody taught in our presence this morning. I do know for a fact, having studied with many people, that they choose to take certain things about the Holy Spirit and certainly want to make some applications of those things without looking at the entire Word of God. The Holy Spirit's a very important subject, but how would we know anything about that subject matter? He's, of course, a Him. He's part of the Godhood or Godhead. He's a personality of the Godhood or Godhead, a being that is God. And He's nothing less than the Father or the Son, and we need to be reminded of that constantly in our lives. And so, what's the only way we can know? Well, we can only know that because the Holy Spirit was gracious enough to share it with us. He presented this revelation to us so that we can understand and know subject matters like we studied earlier this morning. And when we look at passages like 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, we find that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete or perfect. But not just that, but thoroughly equipped for every good work. Showing that there are things we need to do because He's instructing us on how to do those things. With that said, thank you so much for being here this morning. It is good to see, and if I get your name wrong, you can hit me afterwards, but I believe you're Brenda. So I've met the family several times in not so good of circumstances, and certainly they both, or and Debbie, lost a brother. And as I've mentioned last week, they had lost their mother and another brother within this past 12 months. So we certainly are very sympathetic with that. But we also have some other folks back there, Jennifer and Ronnie and Regina, and we have learned to love them very much and care for them very much. They go to New Carlisle, and certainly thankful that they're here with us. And also, Caleb Arns has been, we maybe don't consider her a visitor, but she actually is, but she's not in the auditorium at this time, but we're certainly glad that she's here as well. So in this subject matter, what would we know about revelation? Well, first of all, this word inspiration and the word spirit that we use all the time have very similar meanings. They are breathed or breath. And so we can understand and know that when we're talking about breathed from God, we know which one of the Godhood or Godhead did that. We understand that they took on, if you will, certain roles in not only the physical creation, but the spiritual creation. We have the Father. And again, to simplify things in my mind, the only way that I've been able to understand is, and I don't take from any one of them, but he is the planner, and we'll see that in how they did what he had planned for to be done, if you will. And the Son created both the physical and the spiritual through what he did. And the Holy Spirit gave the life to it. Now, we can only have life because we have the words. Jesus could have died on that cross and nothing ever been written about it, and we wouldn't know a thing about it, and there would be no salvation because we wouldn't know what to do. We wouldn't know about Him. Indeed, we wouldn't be able to turn to Isaiah 53 just like that eunuch did and understand. How important is revelation? Well, the Bible says without it, there's no restraint. In other words, if there's not a set of morals, if there's not a set of things to do, Nick can do what he wants to. Ronnie can do what he wants to. Linda can do what she wants to. No restraint. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no revelation. In other words, where we don't have anything from God, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. He's not even talking about the law that Christ brought. He's talking about the law of Moses. There would have been no restraint if not for a set of things to do. Without it, we would not know what God wants us to do. Well, Mike could suggest some things. Mike and Adam. They could all say, hey, I tell you what, let's do this. But the Bible says in Deuteronomy 29:29, you don't have to concern yourself with that. Because the secret things belong to God. Leave those alone. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Again, talking about the law of Moses, but anything that's been revealed by God belongs to us and to our children, that we may do all the words of this law. Now, if that law was that important, it had been revealed to get them to do some things, then we have a new law that does the same thing. Without it, we wouldn't know about the righteousness of God. In Romans 1:16-17, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith, that as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He's talking about the things that had been first revealed under the old law, and now the things that are being revealed declare the righteousness of God. Those things that are right. Those things we should be doing. Without it, we would not understand the mystery. We would not know about where we came from. We wouldn't know anything about life. But we certainly would not know about salvation. In Colossians 1:24-29, Paul said, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God which was given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God, the mystery. Now, it's not a mystery like we think. He's talking about things that had not been understood. God put them there, but just like that eunuch didn't understand Isaiah 53, it was a mystery to him. And now it's being explained. And now the full revelation of God has come, or is in the process of coming, but now has been revealed to His saints. And He said it had been hidden from ages and from generations. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what do we preach? Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, or mature. To this end I also labor, striving according to His workings, which works in me mightily. Paul said, not from me. Revelation didn't come from me. Without it, we could not know ourselves. I could start maybe going to some psychologist and hear some ideas, and where did that psychologist get his ideas? Well, he might have learned them at a university. And what did that university teach? Well, I don't know. And everybody has their own thoughts and things. But the Bible says this. God wrote down things about us before we were born. How do you know? Well, Hebrews 4:12-13, for the Word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and joints of the marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And he goes on to say, and there's no creature hidden from His sight. Behold, all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him whom we have to do. This clearly points out, if I really want to know, I have to pick up His Word, me personally. Not hear it from someone else. I need to know. And you know what I'll find out? I'll find out that a David is an Abe Martin. I'll find out that a Peter is an Abe Martin. I'll find out that some of these folks that I read about are just like me. What happened to them? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. Everybody's always sinned that way. I can see that in God's Word. Without it, we couldn't have hope. Oh, people say, well, I have this hope, really? From where? Well, somebody told me. Really? That will not get you anywhere. Did the Holy Spirit say it to you through His Word? Romans 15:4, even talking about those Old Testament Scriptures, He said, for whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. What about the Old Testament Scriptures presents hope? The coming of our Lord and Savior. That's what presents hope. Without it, again, in Colossians 1:3-6, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. Because of the hope, which is where? Laid up in heaven. How can I find out about that hope? Through the Word of God. Of which you heard before? In the Word of the truth of the Gospel. The Gospel gives hope. This good news gives hope. It gave hope to those that had died previously. It gives hope to us. As also in all the world. And I love this. It had already come to all the world. The Gospel had spread and is bringing forth fruit, as it also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God and truth. And He says in 21:23 of that same chapter, Colossians 1, and you who once were alienated, talking about Gentiles, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He is reconciled in His body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight, if indeed if indeed you continue in the faith. It's a life we have to live. Grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Without it, there is no salvation. We saw this in Romans 1:16 again. He said that it is the power of God unto salvation. Did he say the Holy Spirit would just come upon people and save them? No. He said the gospel, what's being preached, brings salvation. You need, he said, to listen to what the words say if you want salvation. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14 that Cody used earlier clearly says, chose for salvation. How? Well, first of all, by being set apart by the Spirit. Did the Spirit just set them apart on His own? No, it says more, and belief in the truth. Going back to, did you believe the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation? If you did you obey it? Because He says, to which He called you, how? By our gospel. You see, all these passages say the same thing. For the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2, the writer of Hebrews puts it this way. Therefore we must give the more earnest heed, he said, to the things which we have heard, lest they drift away. For if the word spoken through angels, in other words, the Holy Spirit, as we know, was always involved in giving the word. But we also know, looking at the Old Testament and the passage in the New Testament, that the angels were the agency he had used on many occasions to get that word out. When he did that, if that proved steadfast, that word that came through that agent of an angel proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, he said, how much more we need to be careful. How shall we escape, he said, if we neglect so great a salvation? When did this all start? Which at the first began to be spoken by who? The Lord. And confirmed, he said, to us by those that heard him. And I want to just add, read the next verse that goes along with Cody's this morning. How did they show that the word came from God, the Holy Spirit? They confirmed it with signs and wonders, just like Moses had done the same thing. That's confirmation. So how important is it? Well, without it, there's no restraint. Without it, we wouldn't know what God wants us to do. Each one could have their own idea. Without it, we wouldn't know about the righteousness of God. That is both sides of this issue about if you don't do it, you'll be punished. If you do it, you'll be praised and rewarded. Not because of your works of righteousness, but because of the grace of God. Without it, we would not understand the mystery. We wouldn't understand why we're here, what it's all about, and about what's going to, like they struggle with, what was going to happen in the future. Without it, we could not know ourselves. Without it, we would have no hope. Without it, we would not have salvation. So if that's that important, how did it come? Well, the New Testament came through Christ. He brought revelation himself. He didn't leave it somewhere. He brought it. In Luke 2:25-32, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. So I know this man spoke truth. And it had been revealed to him, how? By the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. This is a man who understood life is going to be better after I leave. He said, I can depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared before the face of all peoples. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Now we can have light. Now we can have completed revelation. Now we can truly understand all of the mystery. He only taught, though, what the Father wanted him to teach. When he came to this earth, God in the flesh, he showed us what true submission is. Equal in every way. But he chose to submit to the Father to show us, even to the point of death on the cross. In John 14:10, do you not believe I am in the Father and the Father in me? In other words, there's no difference in us. But, he said, I want you to understand, the words that I speak to you while on this earth, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the work. Predetermined. He only taught that, and he said in his prayer to the Father in John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So, he's putting his stamp of approval on Revelation. He's saying, you need to know that because that is truth. Now, we know he only taught truth. John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father but by me. And in verse 17, the Spirit of truth. You see, the Father's words are truth. Jesus' words are truth because He is truth. And the Spirit's words are truth. And I will challenge you, outside of that, there is no truth. Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. And certainly He was, because in John 20, Christ put His hands on them. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. And they were, the Holy Spirit literally fell on them, immersed Himself in them, as was pointed out in an earlier lesson. He would not, though, leave His apostles without this helper. They needed divine help. They couldn't remember everything that Christ taught. So in John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you some of the things. No. He'll teach you all things. Whoa, I just had a revelation. I got to tell you something. If I ever get up here and say that to you, I've had a revelation from God and it's different, you say, well, did He lie here? Did He lie when He said, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you? When He says in John 15:26, but when the Helper comes who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. Did He tell the truth in John 16:13-15, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. They were to receive it. His apostles were to receive it so that they could pass it on. For He will not speak on His own authority. There's none of them speaking on their own authority. They work together. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They're not in opposition to one another. They're not arguing about this. They're not in disunity. And that's why we need to come to the unity of the Spirit, Ephesians 4. And we can understand some things that Cody talked about this morning about one baptism. That is coming to the Spirit. The Spirit already said that. For whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare to you. All things that the Father are mine. That the Father has are mine. Equality. Therefore I said that He will take of mine and declare to you. Not a one of us as a human being should ever try to make a statement like that. But He could. And Paul confirmed this. He said he first received it from Christ in Galatians 1:12. I neither received it from man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He would even argue that I didn't even go 14 years down to see Peter and the rest of the apostles. I couldn't have gotten it from them. But he said, not just him, but just like the rest of them, he said, I got it from the Holy Spirit as well. In Ephesians 3:1-5. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given for you, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery. And now we're bringing all this together we've already talked about. As I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets. What we have is, He says, you better take what we've written down. You better understand. That is a revelation given to us by the Holy Spirit. You better understand it to be truth. You better understand it is the only one. Peter confirmed it as well. In 1 Peter 1:10 through 12, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you on their own. No. By the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Not even on a common plane. Angels are not on that plane of God. So now, let's finish it up with this. Is Revelation complete? Would we argue today that it's all done? I would. Jude said it was in Jude 3. That's why my argument is, and I'll continue to make it. I believe he wrote the last book. He's saying it's done. You see, it needed to be. God needed it written down so that not one human being could say, I don't know. God made sure that it got out to all the world. By the time Paul wrote the church at Colossae, he said it had been preached. No one could say, I was ignorant. No one could say, I don't know. Jude says, Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for, not faith, for the faith. And that's actually in there. For the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. He said, what person out there can say, now that they don't have it written down? Peter said we have all things in 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you by the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. As His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Does that remind you of what Christ said? He'll bring to your remembrance all things. He'll tell you all things. Peter said He's given us all things. Peter was confident that God was going to make sure that this was written down for all time. We don't have to be concerned that someone messed with it. God takes care of all of that. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. He said, Abe, you want to be more like God? Look into all the things that He's given you that pertain to life and godliness. Oh, He didn't give us some things. Really? Then you're calling Him a liar. He said He did. There's not one thing lacking. Having escaped the corruption of the world through lust. Paul said we would have, in talking to the Corinthian church there, he said they would have and we would have, finally have that which was perfect. Now, when we look at this, Cody used this earlier. He talks about the things that, how do we know what he's talking about? It's easy. Context. He's been talking about what's going away. What's going away? Well, the ability to prophesy. Now, how do we know this? Go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Read through 14. People pull this 1 Corinthians 13 out, but he's actually continuing that thought. He's talking about the greatness of love over all of these gifts that they have. And he said these gifts are going away. Not just these three, but all of them that he mentioned in chapter 12. They're all going away. You don't need them anymore. Because why? You're going to have the completed Word of God. But when that which is perfect has come. Is it in the process? Absolutely. Jude writes it. It's done. It's one of those things that when we look at it, what person could say? It's not available to me because it was. And he talks about when I was a child. I spake as a child. I understood as a child. But when I came a man, I put away childish things. For now, he said, we see in a mirror dimly. But then face to face. Because we read this Word of God in Hebrews 4. Would give them face to face. James 1, as we're going to talk about in a minute, would give them face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know also as I am known. And now by faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Love is eternal. Hope will go away because it will be realized. Faith will go away because it will be seen. Love never will. And James told us. He's not the only one. You can turn to Romans 12, 1 and 2. And he talks about the perfect will of God. But James tells us. In James 1, 21 through 25, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able, this kind of sums up everything, which is able to save your souls. And remember, he was probably one of the first writers, if not the first writer. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. How could James write that? They don't have it yet. No, they don't have it written down. But it is starting to spread throughout the world. People are preaching this gospel, and it will be written down. And he is assured of that so that no one could say, I don't have it. They could know. And continues in it, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. And James tells him, you're not going to have an excuse. So, it is the word of God that judges. John 12:48, he who rejects me does not receive my words. His words, that he passed on to the apostles, that the Holy Spirit, the Helper, came along and reminded them of so that they could write it down, according to Ephesians 3, has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. And the Holy Spirit and the apostles confirmed it. They said that's absolutely true. So, have you obeyed His word? Not mine, His. He said in John 8:24, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. That's what the word said. That's what the Holy Spirit wanted us to know. He also said in Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from our sins. We need to be obedient. But he who does not believe certainly will never be baptized. He will never believe in the Son of God. He wants us to believe. If you have any needs, we're going to stand and sing a song to encourage you. Would you please stand?